Thank you. You may be seated. It's time for our scripture reading. I'm going to ask you to please take your Bibles and open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Beginning our reading at verse 1 and reading the entire chapter. Jesus speaking says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming, and he has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. And may the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. Thank you so much, Lori, for that prayer put to music. Wonderful job. Thank you. Once again, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. I read a very lengthy passage in John chapter 14, and I'm not going to preach point by point, verse by verse, out of this chapter, because I don't think that you would be willing to put up with 31 points. And in fact, I've actually cut it down to 4 points this morning. It was a struggle, but we tried to do it anyhow. I don't know what your family is like, but if your family is anything like my family, much of the communication in the family takes place around the dinner table. I don't know if your family's like that or not, but around the dinner table, a lot of things get discussed and that type of thing. And in those moments after, where we're just kind of sitting, perhaps drinking a little coffee or whatever. Now I've got everybody thinking about coffee, and so you've got someone sitting there saying, I need to have a fix. But nonetheless, those conversations around the table are very, very important times. This passage of Scripture, the 14th chapter, is one of those after-dinner conversations with Jesus and his disciples. And he is revealing to his disciples several things. Number one, that he's going away. Number two, that they don't need to be concerned about that, because he's getting the amazing privilege of going back into his dad's presence. And then number three, he is presenting to them the fact that even though he's going away, he's not going to leave them without a force. He's not going to leave them to fend for themselves, but he's going to be coming to them in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit will bring them comfort, that the Holy Spirit will bring them encouragement, that the Holy Spirit will bring them courage and grace, that the Holy Spirit will bring them forgiveness and joy, and that the Holy Spirit will bring to them wisdom, so that they might be able to recall all of the events in their 3.5 years of ministry together, and all of the teachings that had come from the very mouth of Christ. And this particular passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at, verses 15 through 26, as we look at this, we're going to see a part of the continuation of what the role of the Holy Spirit is in the believer. Next week, we're going to be looking at the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17, where Jesus includes you and I in his prayer to his Father. Some people have declared that John 17 is the most holy passage of Scripture that there is in all of the Bible, because it reflects the heart of Jesus, perhaps even in a greater way than in any other passage. But for this morning, I want us to look at four things out of this particular passage. I want us to look at, first of all, the I will of promise. Secondly, the I will of presence. Third, the I will of preciousness. And then number four, the He will of instruction. So let's look at these four areas. First of all, the I will of promise. Look at verses 15 and 16. Jesus is talking and he says, look, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he's speaking this, to Philip, who has answered a question. He has shared that he's going away, and Thomas questions him, and Philip questions him. And so Jesus is in the middle of his dissertation with Philip. And he says, look, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. You see, that's the I will of promise. If you will just simply obey my commandments, I'll be with you. He has just shared with them, look, I'm going away. I'm going back to my dad. But I'm not going to leave you without any hope or without any help. But instead, I will ask the Father. Father-son relationships are incredible. They really are. A father has a giftedness that comes from God to be able to connect with his son in a way that kind of opens up that son's heart. In our society today, there are far too many sons who don't have that gift. There are far too many sons that are raised in homes without fathers because there are too many selfish men not involving themselves with their kids. But you see, that wasn't the relationship with Jesus and his dad. They were so connected and so close that they thought the same thoughts, that they have the same passions, that they're just connected. And Jesus says, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because we're one. Fathers, you have the opportunity to connect your sons with God, if you obey God's command. And you see this I will of promise that Jesus brings out. He brings that out in verse 15 and 16. He says, look, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper. I'm going away. Yes, grief has filled your hearts because I'm going away. But look, I'm going to send another. I'll talk with Dad. I'll talk with my Father. And I will present your need before him, and he will respond to that. And he will send another to be with you and to be in you. You won't be orphaned. I'll be there. You see, it's the I will of promise. And that helper that my dad sends will be with you forever. Wow. The presence of the Father in the person of the Spirit to indwell us and to remain. If you're here today and you're looking and you're saying, you know what, I never had a dad. I never had a dad that really cared about what I was going through. I never had a dad that was going to be there all the time. You have the promise of having a dad like that in the person of Jesus Christ through the presence of the Holy Spirit, where God Himself will be with you. He will help you. He will encourage you. He will fill you with strength, with grace, and with dignity, and with wisdom, and with power. And He's not going to take off because life gets a little rough. He's going to be there. That's an incredible dad. And Jesus talks about the fact that we have the privilege of calling Him Abba. That word Abba means Papa. Can be translated Daddy. Isn't that something? The God of all creation is not ashamed to be our daddy, to be our papa. And yet, how many times are we ashamed to speak up for Him? But He holds us. And He cares. And He wraps us in His arms. And He carries us through the difficult moments of life. And He even carries us in the passage from this world to the next. He'll be with you. Shall be in you. What a precious promise we have. Secondly, I want you to notice the I will of presence. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You see, folks, in this Trinity that we embrace, in the fact that we have the three entities of the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as we look at that whole concept, and it kind of blows our minds just a little bit because of our limited circumstances and our limited perspective, because, you know, we don't have that uniqueness that is contained there. But with God, He is not limited. In His existence in three persons, He is not limited. He is unlimited in His power. He is unlimited in His authority. He is unlimited in His love and in His grace. And the Father and the Son and the Spirit are all thoroughly and completely unified and purposed with one purpose in mind. That's our salvation. What an amazing God we serve. What an incredible privilege we have of being His children. And Jesus, as he is looking at this, he says, look, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. But I will come to you. And his reference there is in response to how he's going to accomplish this. He's going to do it through the Holy Spirit, who is not limited, even as Jesus was limited when he walked the earth. Pastor, you're nuts. No, I'm not. Jesus willingly took on the limitations that you and I have of being able to be in one place at one time. And so that was a self-imposed limitation. And so he's talking with his disciples, and that's a part of why they're broken. Their only way of really being able to identify is through the person of Jesus. And so Jesus is saying, look, I'm going back to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be here with you in the person of the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit is not limited in his presence. P-R-E-S-E-C, whatever. Not P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, but in his presence. The Holy Spirit is unlimited. As incredible as this is to think about, God at one time is in Bill Paul's home while he's in Randy Troyer's home, while he's in John Moore's home, and Frank Cutshaw's going, doesn't he care about me? Yup. Because he's there too. But in the person of Jesus, as he walked here on the earth, he couldn't be in Bethany and Bethesda. He couldn't be in Jerusalem and Judea all at once. If he was in Bethlehem, he wasn't in Samaria. You see, he took on that self-imposed limitation of space in order to identify with you and I. And Isaiah predicted that. And he said, look, he identifies with you and I. He suffers rejection, the same as you and I. He suffers pain, the same as you and I. He identifies with our hurts, for he is one of us. And so Jesus couldn't be physically in New York City and Los Angeles at the same moment. But in the person of the Holy Spirit, he can be in all places at all times without limitation. That's an amazing thing. And so Jesus is saying, look, yes, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you without support. I'm not going to be that absentee father. I'm not going to be that self-centered individual that's only cares about reproduction but not growth production. I'm not going to be that kind of a guy that walks away when things get tough. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'll be with you. I'm not going anywhere in that regard. Folks, we have this promise. We don't need proof. We have the promise. God is true to his word. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So we can trust whatever he says. And when we become believers in Jesus Christ, God himself, Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit, takes over residency in our lives. That's all we need to know. And we can have complete confidence that God is God and that he loves us, that he's not going to take off when things get rough. And in this life, things will get rough. The I will of his presence. Now I want you to notice next the I will of preciousness. Drop down with me, if you would, to verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. I will love him. Can life get any more precious than that? Than the knowledge of the love of God himself, the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ himself, the knowledge of the love of the Holy Spirit shed abroad in our hearts. That knowledge is the most precious gift that we'll ever have in this life. I will love him. Do you know that God loves you? He does. He cares about the things that touch your life. He does. He cares about your honor and your integrity before him. He does. But he cares enough about you that he sent his word to be able to reveal his truth to you. And in order that you wouldn't have to struggle with your reading ability, he sends as the author his Holy Spirit to indwell you, that he might teach you the truth, that he might lead you into righteousness, that he might fill you with hope, and that he might empower you to serve him. That's precious. That's how much God cares. Number four, the he will of instruction. Look at verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Disciples, remember this. The words that I spoke on the hillside, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Matthew, the Holy Spirit, is going to call to your remembrance all of those principles. Luke, the story of my birth, the story of my second coming. I came the first time. I'm coming back. Luke, we've talked about that stuff. You have seen all of that. The Holy Spirit, when he comes and he indwells you, will call to your memory all of those things. Every one of these amazing ministry moments, mark where you saw the miracles of God. When the dead were raised, when the blind received their sight, when the deaf were able to hear the amazing word of God, my spirit will call to your remembrance all of those moments. He will teach you. And guys, those things that you struggle with now, the comforter, the healer, the wisdom of God will open up to you because my spirit will be within you. Jesus said it. What proof do we need? Can we take him at his word? Can we follow him by obeying his principles? I hope so. I hope so. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it doesn't behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. What an incredible after dinner conversation. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come and that he would indwell them. And that's what the day of Pentecost was all about. It wasn't about the miraculous signs. It was about the glorious presence. It was about the fulfillment of the promise. It was about Jesus. That's why when Peter gets up and preaches, he preaches about Jesus. God loves you as a father. God loves you as a brother and sister in the Son. God loves you as a guide in the person of the Holy Spirit. Working together, God fills us with hope, with wisdom, and with awareness. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you to please take your hymnals. Open up, if you would, to number 98. This is just kind of a little chorus type of thing. But it's a moment that we want to take to just kind of let Jesus know that we appreciate Him. So if you're here today and, you know, maybe you'd just like to come to the altar this morning and just thank Jesus for His presence with you, for His promises fulfilled in you, I invite you to come. Please, feel free. Just kind of love Him a little bit. Let Him know how much you care. And so if God is drawing you to do that, perhaps you've kind of taken Him for granted, you want to do that today, I invite you to come as we sing. Number 98. Our gracious Lord, thank You. Thank You for the promises contained in Your Word. Thank You for Your presence with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the ways that You honor us and You bless us. And now, Father, thank You for the promise to go with us wherever we go. Now, Lord, may You be honored in our lives. Jesus, as we lift You up, You have promised that You will draw all to Yourself. That's the most important thing in this world. And so help us to lift You up, to honor You, to give You glory. Now, Lord, watch over this amazing congregation as they go to their homes. May their dinner conversation and after-dinner conversation be that which honors You. We'll give You thanks. For it's in Your awesome and holy name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.